Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Daniel.
Hey, Ben and Nathan, love the show. With many LSAT Flex applicants filtering out of the admissions process, do you see a scenario in which some schools' median LSAT scores actually decrease in the near future?
Huh?
Okay, so let's define some things here. LSAT Flex is referring to the three-section test. That's three graded sections and one experimental.
Well, it didn't have an experimental.
Initially, you're right.
Yeah, the LSAT. So LSAT Flex isn't even, it's not a thing anymore, and it was barely ever a thing.
Yeah,
it was in 2020, and they called it the LSAT Flex for like, what, maybe a year?
Maybe a year. I mean, and then all they did is they added an experimental section and started calling it the LSAT again. But to me, it's no different than the LSAT Flex. It's still a three-section test, graded one.
Yeah, I don't think the LSAT Flex was any different from the current LSAT, except that now there's an experimental section, which doesn't count. It makes the test slightly longer, which could make it slightly more taxing if you're bad at the test. But if you're good enough at the test, then doing an additional 35-minute section or even 53 minutes if you're accommodated, it's not an endurance test. It's just simply sitting there and solving one question after another. I just don't see any reason why I don't think LSAT Flex resulted in a boost in scores. I think people taking it at home caused scores to increase.
Sure. And that hasn't gone changing away. The balance of the test. So the games is now worth a third instead of a fourth,
which it still is right now for the next few administrations of the test.
Yeah.
I could see how they claim that getting rid of the games is not going to affect the balance of the test, or not affect the scores, which they have complete control over because they set the scoring scale. So even when games go away, I don't think that that's going to change anything. I think that when they went from a 50% LR four-section test to a 33% LR three-section test with more credit given to the games, I think that's let people take it at home in a comfortable environment, which is just better for almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When they did all that, which isn't changing, that's when scores went up. And LSAT Flex is just a brand that they called it that as like cover for making really quick changes during COVID.
Really big changes.
Really big. Right. It wasn't that quick, but they made big changes. Yeah. They just dropped a section of LR and changed the balance of the test completely and started calling it the LSAT Flex. Then a year later, they were like, well, we're just going to keep it the way it is and call it the LSAT now.
Yeah.
And then at some point they added the experimental section back, which again does not count. So I don't see how that changes the scores of the test at all. I think this kind of speculation about median scores going down is probably misguided. And well, let me put you on the spot right now, Ben. Do you think median scores are going to go up or down in the next year? If you had to pick, up or down?
If I had to pick, I'd say they're going to go up because I think accommodations are continuing to rise. I don't have evidence of that except for what we hear anecdotally. But as accommodations rise, scores rise with it.
Yep. And we haven't heard any, the most recent information that we have from Law School Admission Council was from a report in 2017 that told us the percentage of people who were getting accommodated. But we do hear more and more and more people talking about accommodations. I think that it has to be the case that there are more people applying for LSAT accommodations. And, we think that time and a half is too much.
It's an outsized solution. Yep.
It's exactly. It's like, you've got two people in the street you got a 300-pound guy and you got a 100-pound guy and they're about to scrap. And it's like, well, I should say, it's like a 300-pound guy who knows how to fight against a 100-pound guy. And then it's like, ooh, this is unfair. So then you hand the 100-pound guy a gun.
Way to make this go dark. But exactly. I mean, that's what's happening. They're like, oh boy, this fight is unfair. So here's your, you know, shotgun, here's your whatever. And it's just like, okay, you're bringing a gun to a knife fight. And not even a knife fight. You're bringing a gun to a hand fight.
Yeah. And I think that this is, you can illustrate it most clearly, which you've done many times, Ben, where you've invited me to think about, you know, imagine a student who is really doing pretty well on the LSAT, like they're getting 165 or something, but they're running out of time. And if you gave them just 5 more minutes per section,
oh my gosh,
you know, they might finish a complete additional logic game and they might finish a complete additional reading comprehension passage. And they might answer 2 or 3 more LR questions. And with 5 more minutes per section, you might have given them an 8-point LSAT increase.
Yeah, easily.
But accommodated students don't get 5. I've never heard of anybody who got 5 extra minutes. The least I've ever heard anybody getting is 1.5, which is actually slightly more than 1.5. They get 53 minutes instead of 35 minutes, which is 18 more minutes. So a little bit more than
18 more minutes.
Yeah. And in 18 more minutes, like some people can do the entire section of logic games in 18 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just giving that, not to mention, if you ask for double time, you'll get double time, which we've literally had people write into the show and complain
that it was,
I'll never
much.
Forget this one. Remember that one, Ben? Someone said, I asked LSAC for double time because I thought that they would then give me 1.5.
Yeah. Their anchoring method. Yeah.
This never happens. Instead, they gave him double time. And now he was like complaining about having too much time.
Yeah.
Which that seems to be more the issue with accommodated students than it's like, yeah, once you get your extra time, you've just got this ridiculous luxury of time. Yeah. And I think that's what's causing these a lot of the biggest score increases, especially at the very top of the scale. Right. Since COVID, scores 175 and higher have more than doubled.
Yeah.
And that has got to be in some part related to accommodations, because, man, if you hand a 171 scorer 18 extra minutes per section, then they're instantly above a 175.
Yeah.
Because you've just given them an unfair advantage. I mean, it's just crazy. I don't know.
I don't know how much we should belabor this point, but I was just thinking about like a 5K, right? Like if it takes people, 24 minutes on average to run a 5K, or, you know, just 20 minutes or some number like that.
So to make it fair, we're going to let you start 11 minutes early.
Like it's wild, right? Like it's just you're finishing the race astronomically before so many other people.
Well, the other thing to consider, and this is the thing that everybody seems to miss, is that, you know, the majority of students are still not accommodated. The last report we had was 90-something% of people are not accommodated.
Yeah.
That was in 2017. But non-accommodated people, almost none of them should actually be finishing the sections. We tell people all the time, in order to score higher, stop trying to finish. Instead, focus on accuracy.
Yeah.
But they give people, when they give accommodations with the intention of giving them enough time to actually finish the sections.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems like it seems like overkill.
It is.
Okay. Thanks, Daniel, for writing in. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.